LSU football hit the field for their first scrimmage of fall camp today. Who kind of emerged as a come-from-behind name that maybe we haven't talked about enough? And more importantly, who's falling behind in the quarterback competition? Dylan Sanders, who covers LSU and the Saints for USA Today, will join the show, breaking down everything he saw today at practice.
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us on your preferred podcast platform. You can also find us on YouTube as well. So make sure to check us out on YouTube, Locked On LSU, and hit that subscribe button so you don't miss a second of your Locked On LSU content. A friend of the podcast, we appreciate Dylan Sanders for joining us. He writes for the Saints Wire, also covers LSU for USA Today as well. You can follow him on Twitter at Dilly Sanders, DillySanders. Dylan, appreciate you for joining us because I can't be out there at practice. I'm not out there with my pen and paper writing down, you know, what I see. So I have to recruit one of the best, Dylan Sanders, to kind of react to what he saw today. So, you know, first scrimmage out on the practice field on Thursday, obviously the biggest story of the entire offseason and of today is the quarterback battle. Garrett Nussmeier was limited today. Brian Kelly said he was dealing with a minor ankle issue. But Jaden Daniels taking majority of the first team reps. What was your biggest takeaway from the quarterback battle, not just today, but from all the practices that you've seen so far, all seven of them so far?
So I know that some people are going to be upset. There's a certain fan base for a certain quarterback that has been there and has been very faithful. But
I've noticed.
I think we can kind of write Miles Brennan out of the quarterback race.
Write him out.
I think personally, That is the feel I've gotten.
Okay, so I said, let's rewind a couple months ago. I was like, look, I think Jaden Daniels, after the spring game, I was like, I think Jaden Daniels is going to be the starter. And I had people coming for me. But now that you say it, okay, so why do you think Miles Brennan is out of the picture?
All right, so first off, I haven't seen anything super impressive from him in spring practice, spring game, or fall camp so far. But also look at today, a major selling point to me is that Nussmeier was gone, which means there were first team reps to be had because Nussmeier has been working with first team reps. All of Nussmeier's first team reps went to Daniels. Daniels took about 98% of the first team reps today.
Well,
in all of the drills, like maybe Miles stepped in a couple times, but it was pretty much all Jaden Daniels with the first team.
That surprises me to a point because I really did think that going into camp that I was under my impression that I didn't think that there was a very clear front runner, and I didn't think that we were going to see a clear front runner kind of separate themselves until at least, you know, week three or four of camp. But here we are. This is practice seven. Jaden Daniels, to your point, taking almost all of the first team reps. I mean, Brian Kelly says, you know, there's no separation yet. But based off of what you're saying, I don't believe him. I believe there's very clear separation.
I think there's clear separation between two people. I think it's Nussmeier or Daniels. And now, I mean, Brian Kelly does say, don't read into it. Someone has to take the snaps. And that's true. But they're choosing a certain someone and a certain two someones to take all of the first team reps. And Miles didn't look bad today. He missed throws. Jaden Daniels missed throws. No one was perfect. But Daniels, I think, showed in his escapability, his playmaking after the play broke down. He was a little bit slower going through his reads, but that allowed him to get out of the pocket and run whenever he needed to. And he looked impressive doing it. Today was the best we've seen Jaden Daniels in Baton Rouge. And I don't think it's a surprise that I was with the first team.
Well, and I think that a lot of people were turned off by Jaden Daniels just from the spring game because he started slow in the spring game. I mean, he didn't look very confident out there. He looked kind of lost out in the spring game, at least in the first few snaps that he was taking. But I mean, I read that as, look, this is a kid that just got to Baton Rouge. He's learning this offense. He's learning these receivers. It's going to take a little bit of time for him to get acclimated. And if he doesn't, then he's not going to win this starting job. It kind of seems like what we saw in the spring game was exactly what I thought it was going to be, was he needs a little bit of time to get acclimated. He needs to learn these receivers. He needs to learn this offense. He needs to be in here a little bit longer and is making plays in training camp, it sounds like, and looks a lot more confident.
I will say the one area where he struggled a bit in terms of his speed of making the play, his throws were still on point, was the red zone. He didn't seem to process as fast as, like, say, Miles or Garrett Nussmeier did throw in the red zone drills. I will say Nussmeier did throw, and he threw after Jane Daniels threw. So it went Daniels, Nussmeier, Brennan, Walker, Howard. So any chance given to put Jaden or Nuss ahead of Brennan,
they did. To his point, you know, don't read, and to Brian Kelly's point, don't read too much into anything. But I think that's fairly obvious to me that Miles Brennan is third in line for this.
And whenever you look at the running backs who they worked with, Miles Brennan was always paired up with Armani Goodwin, who is the third team back, it seems right now. Noah Kane and John Emery pretty much split first team.
Interesting. And I want to get into the running backs later, but kind of keeping on the quarterback topic, we talk about Jaden Daniels, and, you know, we know that he has a very specific skill set. We know that he is a very mobile and talented runner, a very mobile quarterback and a talented runner. But what about Garrett Nussmeier has kind of brought him to the forefront of this quarterback battle, kind of competing with Jaden Daniels, it seems like?
So with Nuss, it's been a lot of being hyped up from the media. A lot of teammates have been hyping him up. And that's what Brian Kelly said would make a separation in this battle, is who can get the team on their side, basically. So we've heard a lot of that from players with Garrett Nussmeier. Nussmeier, from what I've seen with my own eyes, they did a rollout drill, I think, two practices ago. And him and Daniels looked the smoothest doing that. His throws have been good. He's been more accurate. He's been quirky with his reads. He's looked really impressive whenever he has played. I don't think that there's been much separation between him and Daniels, because both have made mistakes, both have made great plays, and both are similar play styles, I would say.
And I know we all look at Garrett Nussmeier kind of having this gunslinger mentality, which I do think to a certain extent is a good thing. You know, you want a quarterback that's going to be able to go out there and take risks and feels comfortable kind of making those deep balls. But also you have to keep in mind that you have to have a really strong grasp of this offense, and you have to read the defenses really well to be able to execute that correctly and to be able to be, you know, effective with that, or else you just throw picks left and right. So how have you seen kind of this gunslinger mentality mature with Garrett Nussmeier?
We haven't seen – today was the first, like, scrimmage setting.
Yeah.
So we haven't seen a ton of him throwing to receivers being covered. But he's just looked smooth in all of the drills that we have seen him play in. So I'm really excited. They said he should be back on 7-on-7s as early as tomorrow or today, whenever this – will be showing. So either Friday or Saturday, he will be back in 7-on-7. So I assume next time we see the team is on Monday, I believe. Maybe we'll see some of that and get a better grasp of what Nussmeier is looking like in that setting. From what we did see, what I can say about the guys we did see, Daniels looked really impressive in the short to intermediate game today. That's where he struggled a little bit deeper. And it's always going to be a little bit of an accuracy thing for him. If you've ever watched him in Arizona State, he can throw the ball very, very far.
He can launch it
very, very easily. It's going to be a little bit of an accuracy thing with him. But short to intermediate, his release looks much quicker than it has looked. And his accuracy was much, much improved.
Okay. Very interesting. So Jaden Daniels and Garrett Nussmeier kind of separating themselves from the rest of the pack of the quarterback room. I want to act more shocked than I really am, but like it's interesting more so than anything. Mm-hmm. It's very, very interesting. But we talk a lot about the quarterback position because there are so many other positional battles offensively. So I want to get into that with Dylan coming up next. So if you haven't tried the Built Bar Puffs yet, you are depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys because it's a new flavor of Built Bars. It's delicious, indulgent cookie dough. They're covered in chocolate, and Built has done it again because it's delicious and nutritious. I actually had one for breakfast this morning, and it got me going throughout the entire day. So let me introduce you to your new favorite. It's cookie dough chunk puffs. They've got a light and chewy texture. They've got real cookie dough chunks in it. That's my favorite bite of the Built Bar, is the one with the real cookie dough chunks. And of course, they're covered in 100% real chocolate, just like all Built Bars are. So you've got all the joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle of making it. Plus, it's healthy for you. The cookie dough chunk puffs are only 160 calories, and they have 15 grams of protein in them, so they will keep you full for all day long. Run to built.com to snag a box for you and the family. It'll be a perfect treat, or you can find a really good hiding place, because I promise you, you're not going to want to share these with anyone else because they are just that good. Plus, like all Built Bars, the new cookie dough chunk puff is covered in 100% real chocolate, so that means that they're healthy and they're tasty. Chocolate covered cookie dough with a light fluffy texture, it's delicious. It is so good. And what's great about Built is that all of their bars are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently, and it's got a ton of health benefits for your hair, your skin, and your nails. You can eat something that tastes good and it's good for you. You are going to love the new cookie dough chunk puff because I love it too. Whether you need a snack for your workout, a late night treat, or just to grab a quick bite, Built is the perfect protein bar. It can be on the go, and they taste better than a candy bar. They're better for you than a candy bar. So ditch the calories, the fat, and the sugar, and grab yourself a cookie dough chunk puff Built bar. So go to built.com, use promo code LOCKEDON15, LOCKEDON15, all one word, and get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKEDON15. Thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcast. Talking with Dylan Sanders. You can follow him on Twitter at Dilly Sanders, D-I-L-L-Y. He covers the Saints for the Saints Wire, also covers LSU for USA Today as well. Jane Daniels, Garrett Nussmeier emerging as, you know, at least the two favorites early on in camp. But there was a name that Brian Kelly mentioned in his post-practice press conference, and that was Mason Taylor, tight end, who I didn't necessarily expect to make an immediate impact. But Brian Kelly said he's going to be playing football for us. And, you know, you mentioned Jaden Daniels being a little bit more effective in those short and intermediate situations. I look at Brian Kelly, you know, having so much success in the past with tight ends. I wouldn't be surprised if the tight end position is utilized a ton, if Jaden Daniels does end up winning the starting quarterback position. What did you see from Mason Taylor today? And what about him was so special for Brian Kelly to single him out?
Well, I will call back to him making a really nice catch on the end, and then one of the media guys going, "Who even is that?" And I was like, "That's
fair question.
It's Mason Taylor. You need to remember the name."
Yeah, you'll learn.
I think all of the tight end. Someone asked me earlier last week, it was like, "What's the weakest part of this team?" And I said, "Well, it's probably the tight end room, because there's like not really anyone that
there's a lot of players in there."
There's not a lot of players. There's like not a lot of names, but Mason Taylor and Cole Taylor both looked really, really, really good today. In the red zone drill, they are big tight ends that went up and came down with the catch. There was another play where one of the players went, "Oh, that was a good route on a Mason Taylor." A quick turnaround route, but he looked smoother running routes than I think expected.
And then another, you know, member of this tight end room, Nick Storrs, who came back from medical retirement. What does he look like? Do you expect him to be able to be, you know, healthy enough and contribute enough to this offense?
I think he will contribute, but I have not seen him personally stand out as much as, like, I couldn't think back today to whenever Nick Storrs did something incredible. Yeah. I could point back to Cole Taylor, Jack Mashburn, who can't also be forgotten in this room, and Mason Taylor. They all made memorable plays today, and I think that kind of shows you why they were comfortable of taking the tight end tag off of Jack Besh and making him solely a receiver.
And that's interesting that you bring that up too, because I mean, the size, I guess you could, you know, you could label Jack Besh, a tight end. But, you know, I talked to him at SEC Media Days. He was like, yeah, I never even really did a lot of tight end work. I don't really even know why that label was put on me. And I mean, his skill set, obviously, we've seen aligned so much more with the receivers. But kind of, you know, going with the receivers, I think that this is a fairly top-heavy receiver room with a few guys that are kind of competing to be one of those top guys. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see LSU go 4 or 5 wide and, you know, several play calls this season. Who do you think, you know, aside from the Kayshon Boutte's and the Jack Besh's, some of the guys that you expect to go out there and, you know, be first team receivers, who maybe on the second or third team really wowed today?
Well, I would say the overall winner, who we haven't said his name yet today, I don't think, the overall winner of practice in Maya today was Malik Nabers.
He wowed.
He was so good. He had a great play in the corner of the end zone. I believe it was Nussmeier throwing him the ball. It was in the corner of the end zone. He jumped over Sage Ryan and came down with the ball. He won all of his reps. I didn't see him drop the ball, which there were actually a lot of drops today within that second and third team. I didn't see him drop the ball once, and I saw some great routes. I think he won pretty much all of his reps. He looked incredible today. And I know that they said he was going to work in the slot. I expect him to be one of the guys that is a little bit more versatile. He could work either slot or out wide.
Which, I mean, it's nice to have those versatile guys that can kind of plug and play wherever, especially a young guy in Malik Nabers, who, I mean, is only coming to his second season. So he can, you know, he can graduate into, you know, one of the starting guys on the outside. But if he is going to be kind of a versatile guy, who do you see fitting in most seamlessly in that slot position?
Well, I like whenever a team has a guy that they can rely on to be like kind of like the big slot. And Brian Thomas, I think, is a name that fits in there. He is finally coming into his own. Brian Kelly mentioned today that he is one of the strongest players on the team. Like, position, like, doesn't matter who's the strongest. It's Brian Thomas is near the top of that list, which is impressive for a wide receiver, but he's finally over 200 pounds. He's like filling into his frame. And he has been looking really good in practices as of late. And a name that we have yet to see practice, but people always ask about is Chris Hilton. He hasn't practiced yet. He's been, I think it's a hamstring injury that he's been dealing with. Kyron Lacy has looked okay. Like, he's looked good. He's not been as consistent as maybe some people thought. He looks like a wide receiver NFL wide receiver out there. He won a couple reps today. He had one that was overthrown that he would have won. He's looked okay. I think that this team is deeper at receiver than people. I think this team as a whole is a lot deeper than some people think they are. Like, I get it's a bunch of new names, but there've been a bunch of people like showing up and stepping up to allow us to look at the third and fourth team as maybe even have people that get some playing time. I think it's a deeper team than people expected.
I think that's a fair point, because I think I'm guilty of this, and I think there are probably a lot of other LSU fans that are guilty of this as well. If you look at the depth chart, if there's not a name that you recognize, sometimes I tend to just like overlook them and be like, oh, you know, I don't know that guy. Like, he's probably not going to be able to contribute. But odds are it's probably some transfer from a program that I don't follow very closely that can actually come in and either compete for a starting job or, you know, be an actual starter. So that is a very fair point. But you also bring up Kyron Lacy. And I thought Brian Kelly had some very interesting words to say about him. He was basically saying, like, he's a very strong guy. If you look at the weight room numbers, like, he's one of the strongest players on this team. But he said confidence is a choice with him. What exactly does that mean? Like, what have you seen with Kyron Lacy? I know the media period is, what, 20, 30 minutes in practice? I know you don't see a ton.
Except today, we did get the entire practice.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it's been... It goes like 30 minutes, and then we get full practice every now and then.
Okay,
which
nice.
Is crazy compared to what it used to be.
When it used to be 10 minutes, and I had to run in there, and I was huffing and puffing trying to get video. Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, Kyron, I think it's a little bit of a play-to-play effort thing. You know, they focus a lot on forgetting a mistake and then just moving on, like owning the mistake and then moving on to the next play.
Yeah.
And it seems like it might be a little bit of an issue with that. Whenever he makes a mistake, he gets down. it's a confidence thing. Yeah. Playing in the SEC, you have to have confidence in yourself, especially going up against the SEC corners. You have to know that you're going to win the rep to even have a chance to win the rep. And I think it's been a little bit of an issue with that, maybe a little bit of effort and sulking more.
Having, you know, not enough of a short-term memory.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, I also think that's something that you just have to practice. That takes experience mm-hmm. to know that, hey, I'm going to continue to get beat if my mind's still stuck on two plays ago. But last position group that's, I think, has been really interesting to follow on the offensive side of the ball, at least, is the offensive line. Brian Kelly mentioned, you know, we're lacking consistency. We're lacking experience. I don't think that's anything new to at least myself or a lot of LSU fans. I think I'm going into this season. You mentioned the tight end room probably being the weakest part of this team. I could also look to the offensive line and say that's probably the weakest aspect of this team. While there's several bodies in that offensive line room, there's just not a ton of experience. But Brian Kelly mentioned Garrett Dellinger, how he was taking reps at center. Are there any other offensive linemen that really stuck out to you that you didn't expect to see?
I don't know about that I didn't expect, maybe that I didn't expect so soon. It's a name that fans have loved to talk about, media loves to talk about, but Will Campbell.
Will Campbell, man, yep, that's what I thought.
What a guy. I got to see, you know how they split into two different fields?
Yeah.
So I actually, whenever I got to practice, I decided not to go to the offense. I wanted to check out the defense because I was getting interested, and they had offensive line versus defensive line one-on-ones, which is one of the most fun drills to watch.
It is so fun.
And Will Campbell got matched up against Ali Gay, one of the veterans. People expect to be one of the best edge defenders in the SEC. And of course, if you want Will Campbell to be able to start in the SEC, he needs to be able to take those guys on. And he won every rep against Ali Gay.
He
just dominated.
Okay, because that has been my thing. I'm like, I know that Will Campbell is a great player, and he's my early pick to win that left tackle job. But I kind of went into it thinking like, hey, it's going to take him some time to get used to, you know, going up against SEC defenders. Oh my gosh, a true freshman, and he's beating out Ali Gay on every single snap.
Yeah, that from what I saw in one-on-ones, yes, he was winning every snap. He looked really impressive.
That makes me so excited.
The offensive line really held their own more than expected, because this is supposed to be one of the best defensive lines in the country, not even just the SEC. They held their own more than I expected them to. But yeah, Will Campbell is going to start. I don't see an avenue where he doesn't start week one.
What a freaking guy.
He looks incredible. He looks stronger and bigger and more athletic than he did in high school, which is crazy to say because he was one of the best tackles in the country.
Right. Oh my gosh. Wow. That makes me very, very happy and very excited moving forward. But kind of want to switch gears to the defensive side of the ball. Mm-hmm. I think the corner battle has been really interesting to follow. And Brian Kelly said today he's very pleased with the secondary. Mm-hmm. I kind of went into this thinking it would almost be like a puzzle, trying to solve a puzzle mm-hmm. of all of these pieces that Brian Kelly and this entire coaching staff has collected throughout the offseason, how they're going to fit it all together. He mentioned Seven Banks, who's cleared to be out there for 7-on-7s. Jalen Davis Robinson is another name that he mentioned. Mentioned that Jerick Bernard Converse wasn't able to be out there. But of those guys, and then anyone else that I haven't mentioned in the secondary, who was taking first team reps and who looked good?
Bernard Converse was out there. He was.
Oh, okay.
It's Jordan Tolles wasn't out there today. Who was a safety, I believe, and then moved to corner to alleviate some of that depth. Jerick Bernard Converse is going to be a starting cornerback. I think it's solidified. He's going to be on one end of the defensive line.
That felt like a given.
In the secondary.
Yeah.
He came in as a really good player from Oklahoma State. The one that I did not expect at all, and I had to look up his name in the roster today. He was getting first team reps and he looked really good doing it. It was Colby Richardson from McNeese.
Okay. I think Colby that actually was a name that Brian Kelly mentioned today in his press conference.
I think he was calling him Cody Dickerson, which is not his name. But
that just goes to show like how they probably didn't even think of him as being a non-starter.
Yeah. you look at who we got in and you think, well, Seven Bakes just got cleared today, and I don't think he was running in 7-on-7s. He did get cleared though. But first team was, it was Colby Richardson out of McNeese State over Makai Garner, which is what not a lot of people expected to see. And I will say Makai Garner did get a good rep against Kayshawn Butte. He did beat Kayshawn in a 1-on-1 rep. And he hasn't looked bad per se, but I think they're really comfortable right now with Bernard Converse and Colby Richardson on corners. And being able to have another name come in and step up like that is huge for this corner room, because it was looking like a real big question mark of, are they even going to have enough guys to realistically rotate and be able to have fresh guys out there. But it's looking really, really good.
So what were maybe some concerns of yours that you had going into training camp about this team, about this coaching staff, that have kind of been alleviated over the past week or so? And what are maybe some concerns that you have now that maybe you didn't have going into camp?
I would say the cornerback room is definitely one of the ones that I have been like, okay, I was very nervous about, but the safeties looked good today. The corners looked good today. Linebackers, Harold Perkins looks like a fifth-year senior already at linebacker.
This incoming class is nuts.
Just a crazy amount of freshmen making names for themselves in fall camp.
Wow.
All places. Like, yeah, I think he's not going to be starting, but he is definitely going to find himself on the field. He moves like a safety with the build of a linebacker. He's just a freak.
Oh my gosh. As a true freshman, that is wild. I've heard a lot about how this makeup and practice has been so much more calculated, so much more business-like, so much more organized than maybe some coaching staffs of the past. Are you seeing that as well?
Yeah, everything is super streamlined. There's no wasted time. There's no downtime. Everyone is always doing something and they know immediately where they're going.
Efficiency.
It's efficiency, which if you watched the LSU offense last year,
it wasn't efficient.
Efficiency is the last word I think you would use to describe the 2021 LSU football offense. But this year, everyone looks like they know what they're doing. All of the coaches are conversing with each other. Coaches are immediately going to players afterwards, telling them what they need to fix, and they're doing the rep again. Like, everything is moving fast. It's a streamlined practice, which is awesome.
Oh, it's so refreshing to hear. Well, Dylan, we appreciate you so much for bringing your expertise to Locked On LSU. Chat with you soon.
Awesome.
And then Dylan Sanders, follow him on Twitter at Dilly Sanders. He is the best, and you'll be seeing a lot more of his work sometime soon. Appreciate Dylan Sanders for joining the show. I always like to get kind of a peek behind the curtain of whatever is going on at LSU practice, since I can't be there myself, so we recruit him for us. But we appreciate him. And coming up on tomorrow's episode, we will chat with John Garcia to kind of get his thoughts on LSU's latest recruits. But you can get more on the SEC by making Locked On SEC your second listen. Every day, host Chris Gordy and the local experts of Locked On take you across the SEC in 30 minutes. Make Locked On SEC your second listen. That's Locked On SEC.